the word I kept hearing just a moment ago was unfinished business. And I believe, in a broad sense, because I felt like I know what the Lord was saying to me by that, is that there's some of you in this room today that you've got some unfinished business with Him. But today you're going to take a step towards that. And I believe, as Pastor Andrew said a moment ago, that there's people here from all different levels and walks on your journey with Jesus. Some of you are still kind of brand new and you're looking around and some of this Holy Spirit stuff and you're like, I don't know about that. And you just love what you feel and what you sense. You may be unfamiliar with it, but there's going to be something that causes you to take another step into it. There's some of you that have been following the Lord, as you would say, I've known the Lord for a long time, but you've got some unfinished business with the Lord that the Lord's going to remind you of a vow that you made a long time ago, and you're going to take a step towards fulfilling that vow to the Lord. And then there's just all of us, and I believe for all of us that the Lord's going to just call us just to take another step on our journey with Him, and I believe that your life's going to be changed when you do. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Exodus 19. I'm going to journey a little bit forward from that and try not to take a whole lot of time. I just believe the Lord wants to just speak in something to us this morning. You know, you'll be very proud of me. Recently, I finally went into the garage and put up all my Christmas decorations. They were already boxed up. They were just sitting there, totes with lids. And maybe you can relate to this because your weather's similar to our weather, but one of the reasons I'd been putting it off was it was hot, and I had to go into the attic. The heat and the trips that I was going to have to make up and down the ladder, I just didn't want to do it. I knew it was going to take effort. I knew it was going to be work, and I knew it was going to be sweaty. And there was a whole lot of other things that I would rather do than to make that climb. But nobody else was going to do it for me either. It was my responsibility. I just didn't want to make the climb. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like that in life? I'm not talking about Christmas decorations. I'm talking about an area of your life that God was calling you up in. Nobody else could do it for you, but you knew that there was going to be some discomfort in it. And the thing I'm convinced of is what keeps us where we are from getting to where God wants us to be is the pain we're unwilling to endure to get there. How many of you know growth takes pain? It's time under tension. If you want to get stronger, it's time under tension. And in all areas of our life, in your marriage, in your finances, in your physical health, in our spiritual life, in our walk with God, all kinds of excuses as to why I can't do something, as to why it won't happen for me, which ultimately boils down to you just don't do something. And as long as you argue for your limitations, you'll always have them. So I want to look at a powerful account here in Exodus chapter 19 that as God has led the children of Israel out of bondage with a promise. How many of you are familiar with that story? That God promised them, I'm going to bring you out to bring you in. And this was God's command to Moses. Go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And not just for freedom's sake. He said, tell Pharaoh to let my people go so they may come and worship me. And God is leading the children of Israel out of bondage again with a promise. And we know, we're familiar with Moses. And in that instance, the deliverer of Israel, the let my people go Moses from Egypt to the wilderness and all the way to what we know as the promised land. Listen to me. The promised land was a place, but it wasn't the purpose. The promised land was a place, but it wasn't the purpose. The purpose was worship. The purpose was relationship. The promised land was a place God desired to demonstrate those things. And too many times we get caught up in looking for our promised land and forget about the purpose for which God called me out of the bondage that I was in. It wasn't to just bring me to a place that overflows with blessing. It was bring me to a place that overflows with His presence so I would worship and desire relationship. And then out of the relationship comes bountiful blessings. And David said, benefits that He loads me down with daily. But I'm not supposed to be looking for the promised land. I'm supposed to be following the one that called me out. And in the process of Him leading me out along my journey, I'm going to discover and uncover so many blessings that Jesus tells us in Matthew that if I seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, if I seek first that place, righteousness simply means a place of right standing with God. That if I seek to first stand in a place of right standing with God, He promised that He would add everything else to me. But maybe you, like me, sometimes get caught up in looking for the other things. And I spend so much time in prayer on other things. And I spend so much time crying out to God, when are you going to give me the other things? And God said, when you seek me, you'll discover all of the other things that are already in your possession. That I seek to step outside of my relationship and my pursuit of God to add to myself. And God said, if you'll just seek me, I'll bring everything into the circle that you need. But sometimes I'm just unwilling to make the climb, to stay in relationship, to stay on the journey. The purpose was worship. The purpose was relationship. God brought them out of bondage to be in a place of ongoing relationship and a place of never ceasing worship with Himself. Listen to me. Heaven is the place. It's not the purpose. Jesus said, I'm going away to prepare a place that where I am, you can be. That's His desire. If you're a note taker, I want you to write this down. If you're not a note taker, write this down. The journey is about the relationship. And here we are in Exodus chapter 19. This is about 2 months after God has delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, and He's brought them through. And if you've read any of that account or heard any messages or teachings or watched the Prince of Egypt, then you saw that God brought them out, the Bible says, with His mighty right hand. We know the stories of the plagues and how all of that came on Egypt, but it didn't. The Bible says it didn't touch Goshen. It didn't touch the children of Israel. That God covered them. God protected them. God kept them from that. And God delivered them, brought them out of Egypt, loaded down with silver and gold. Brought them out and journeying to the place that He'd promised for them, covered them with a cloud by day and a fire by night. When Pharaoh decided and determined that, no, we're not really going to let you go, we're going to bring you back, that God said, no, I'll watch over you. Parted the Red Sea. They walked over on dry ground and destroyed their enemy with just a little bit of water. God demonstrated Himself strong, letting them know that my desire to be in relationship with you is real. Can I stop right here and just remind some of you, you shouldn't be here right now. Some of you should have been dead and long gone a long time ago, but God has preserved you, not for a place, but for purpose. And that purpose has preserved you for relationship and worship. The journey is about relationship. Exodus chapter 19. And the Bible says that God brought them, and God has been speaking to Moses. And the Lord calls to Moses again in Exodus chapter 19. And it says, then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, this is what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings, watch this, and brought you to myself. I want you all to myself. I want you to myself. Now, if you obey and keep my covenant, although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. This whole thing the Lord is saying to Moses, I want you to tell the people this whole thing, all of this stuff that I've been orchestrating, all of this stuff that I've been doing, bringing you out of bondage, bringing you out the way that I have, this is about me and you. Me wanting to be with you. Again, milk and honey wasn't the objective, relationship was. But we don't always prioritize what God prioritizes, do we? Sometimes we prioritize or desire milk and honey over relationship, and we overlook the relationship seeking milk and honey, what God can do for me. And sometimes I spend more time in my prayer closet seeking the stuff rather than the one who's the giver of all things. He says in verse 9, then the Lord said to Moses, and I will come to you in a thick cloud. Moses, watch this, so the people themselves can hear me. Do you hear the heart of God? God's saying, Moses, I don't want to just talk to you. I want to talk to them too. Moses, I don't want them to just hear what you say. I want them to hear what I'm saying. I want to be close to them too. Look at somebody real quick and tell them that he wants to be close to you too. God's desire, listen to me, God's desire is to speak to every one of us. So here's what God does in verses 10 and 11. God comes and he says, Moses, tell the people to consecrate themselves. Consecrate the people because in 3 days I'm coming down in the sight of all the people. Moses, you're not just going to see me. They're going to see me the way you've been seeing me. How many of you know that's what Jesus did for us? In Hebrews chapter 4, the Bible says that we have a high priest who is touched by the feeling of our infirmities, and he came and his sacrifice, watch this, 3 days, his sacrifice made us right with God so God can come near to us and we can come near to God. And the Bible says that when Jesus died, the veil that separated us from the presence or the glory of God was ripped from top to bottom and allowing us, the Bible says, Hebrews says, now we can come boldly, everybody say boldly, into the throne room of God and there find mercy in our time of need. There is now no separation, nothing that hinders us from coming to him. In verse 13, the Lord says, when the trumpet blasts, let that be their signal to come, to go up, to make the climb. Everybody say, make the climb. The Lord said to Moses, I want them to come up here too. Verses 17 and 18, Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Everybody say, get ready. They were there. They were there. They have been being prepared for this moment. To come up to God as he was coming down. It reminds me of the scripture that he says, when you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. Come up on the mountain, make the climb. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. This is the desire of God. This is what God asked for. This is what God asked Moses to prepare them for, to bring us to himself, to bring us to him, to speak to us, to have relationship with us so you can experience him. And it's so powerful as you read through that because in Exodus chapter 20, God begins to speak. And this is not stone tablets. God is just speaking. And God says, I want them to know I don't want them to have any other gods before me. Just me and them. None of the bondage stuff anymore. None of that pressure of being conformed to the world. But I want them to be transformed in my presence. I want them to see me like you see me, Moses. I want them to see me for who I am. I want them to experience my presence like you've experienced my presence. I want them to hear my voice like you've heard my voice. Don't make any graven images. Honor the Sabbath. Honor your father and mother. And the Lord goes on to tell Moses that this is what I want them to know. And here's the thing. I want you to write this down, because the relationship that God desires is about all of me, not some of me. He wants all of me. He didn't die so he could have partly relationship with me. He died and sacrificed his son so that I could come all complete to him. He doesn't want some of you. He wants all of you. He doesn't just want you on Sundays. He wants you every day of the week. He doesn't want you just in conflict moments and when you're struggling moments and when you don't know what else to do moments. He wants you all the time. And their response is often our response when God says, come, but I want all of you. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 18, remember, they're standing at the foot of the mountain. Now when all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning, they began to see and hear God in ways they had never seen and heard God before. In flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain was smoking, the people were afraid and trembled. Watch this. And they stood afar off. I was right there. But you asked me to give you everything. And I don't know if I could do that. I was right there. I was in the moment. And there was something in me that hungered and desired after that. But when you said, I've got to let this go and I've got to lay that down, I just don't know that I can give you everything. And they stood afar off. God, I'd love to have that if I could just have you like this. You know what the problem was? That their soul was still stuck in Egypt. Their soul was still stuck in bondage. Their soul was still trapped. Their soul, their mind, their thinking, their emotions was still bound up in yesterday, in 2 months ago, in what they had experienced, because they had never experienced freedom like this. They had never experienced giving God total control of their life. I've experienced a little bit of freedom, and I want to protect this where I am. But God says, I've got more than you could ever imagine. And think or understand if you'll just surrender everything to me. And they stood afar off. He shows up real and powerful and awesome. You see, like, his presence has been so real in this place today. So real and so powerful. But I'm not sure I can give you everything. They stood afar off, close, but not that close. Close, but not close enough. I can see him some, but not fully. I can hear him a little bit, but not completely. I felt the tremor, but I didn't experience his glory. And they're still struggling with those Egyptian mentalities and the bondage, and they're having a hard time seeing themselves free. And because I can't see myself free, I can't see myself making the climb. And remember, as long as you argue for those limitations, you'll always have them. And as long as you have a reason as to why you are the way you are, you'll never have an excuse to change. And one of the most heartbreaking scriptures you could possibly read, Exodus chapter 20, verse 19. And they said to Moses, speak to us yourself, and we will listen. And the people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. And we become so accustomed to limitations and so accustomed to the bondage of our past. We've become so satisfied in walking in less than what he desires to give that we've become satisfied with somebody else making the climb and coming down and telling us what God said. And in rooms just like this one all over our world, there are people that fill them that are okay with a man of God making the climb and come and telling me what God said. But God's desire is to speak to you. God's desire is that you hear him. God's desire is that you experience him. That when you come into this room, it's a place of encouragement. It's a place of equipping. That it is a place of confirmation. That when Pastor Andrew speaks, you say, man, I read the same thing this week. And let me tell you what God showed me there also. That you're not waiting on Miss Amanda or Brittany or Nathan to lead you into the presence of God. We enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, that we enter into his gates with a gladness in our hearts. We enter in into a place of expectation, not hoping that God meets me here, but knowing that God is already prepared to meet me here. Close, but not close enough. But his desire is that you come close. I want you to see this, because people that refuse to make the climb, you can jump all the way to Exodus chapter 32 and see this, and I believe they're going to have it on the screen, but people that refuse to make the climb, when the people saw how long it was taking Moses to come back down the mountain, they gathered around Aaron. Come on, they said, make us some gods who can lead us. Leave that scripture right there for just a minute. That's people who are unwilling to make the climb. We don't know what happened to this fellow Moses who brought us here from the land of Egypt. Watch this, watch this, watch this. People who are unwilling to make the climb, first thing they do is dismiss the law of God. What was the first thing God said to Moses? I want you to tell them, don't make unto themselves any graven image. And the first thing we do when we dismiss the law of God is we begin to make everything else in our lives an idol. We don't worship him holy, so we find other things to worship also. We make the holy things of God common and the common things holy in our life. Come on, somebody. Because we're unwilling to make the climb. They dismiss the law of God. They rebel against God's plan. And watch this. God chose Moses for a purpose to lead them into the promised land. Watch their hearts. Make us an idol. Who's this Moses guy? This Moses fellow. All of a sudden, they've become a people of dishonor because they're unwilling to make the climb. You know what I know about people who are willing to make the climb? They may not always agree with me, but they won't so quickly dismiss me either. People who make the climb, who stay in the presence of God, who hear the voice of God, are people of honor. They're not quick to ridicule. They're quick to pray. They're quick to encourage. They're quick to strengthen. They're quick to come alongside. And then ultimately, we know that this generation of people died in the wilderness and they missed out on the blessings of God altogether. So here's what we know. Moses made the climb. Moses talks to God. Moses gets to see God face to face like a man does a friend. Moses gets to hear the voice of God, experience the presence of God, while they are trying to live the life of a disciple with no discipline. Moses was willing to make the climb, watch this, because he had an encounter that he wanted more of. Watch this. The root of discipline is disciple. He was willing to do what needed to be done to get there. And it's not until you're willing to embrace the uncomfortableness of discipline that you will begin to see breakthrough you long for in your life as a disciple. Remember, sanctify yourself, and I'll visit you. He tells them as Joshua is leading them in Jericho in Joshua chapter 3, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow I'm going to do wonders among you. The root of discipline is disciple, you following Jesus. You can't follow him without discipline. How do we know that? I looked this up, and if what I read is true, the word Sinai, the word literally means thorny. Moses climbed Mount Sinai to talk with God. And from what I've read, it is said that that trek up to where Moses would meet with God was about 7,500 feet to the top. Now remember, this wasn't, they didn't have the hiking trails that you and I had today. These are uncharted territories. That Moses knew God was up there somewhere, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to get up there. And for somebody in the best of health, commentaries say that it would take about 3 hours to make the climb up, and then about 3 hours to make the climb down. And Moses every day would get up and he would make that climb. Now, in my mind, Mount Sinai being thorny and it's uncharted territory, by the time Moses got to the top of that mountain, he was dirty, he was sweaty, he was tired, and probably a little bloody. But he was willing to make the climb because he had an encounter that he wanted more of. And the shame for some of us that we get up and we feel like I'm just a little bit more tired and I'm going to sleep in today. God will understand. I didn't get a chance to read my Bible. I didn't get a chance to go to church. I didn't get a chance to go to Bible study. God will understand. I've been working hard. No, God expects you to make the climb. He didn't call you out of what he called you out of to have part of you worship him. He wants all of you in worship of him. In light of all that God has done for you, present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. It's the most reasonable act of worship you could do. And Moses experienced what David said in Psalm 34, taste and see that the Lord is good. You see, the climb will cause you to lose a desire for this world and hunger more for that one. Moses was willing to make the climb because he had an encounter he wanted more of. Moses was willing to make the climb because he had a burden for the people he was called to lead. Listen to me, dads, moms, teachers, leaders, ministry leaders, pastors. In Exodus chapter 32, Moses intercedes twice for Israel. Once while on the mountain, and he comes down and he sees the sin, and then he goes back up on their behalf. And this is what Moses said, Lord, forgive them, or just go ahead and blot me out. Forgive them, or don't forgive me. Listen. Parents, leaders, husbands, officers, teachers, whatever sphere of influence that God might have you in right now, do you have a burden for the people that God has called you to lead? Dads, listen to me, that you're willing to get up in the morning or when the Holy Spirit shakes you and says, I need you to pray on behalf and intercede on behalf of your family and your children. Listen to me, teachers and leaders in this church, when there's a call that goes out that says we're going to stand old school grounds, are we willing to make the climb that says God cover them, God save them, God keep
them. God, you've called me to a purpose, and I'm not coming down off this mountain till you move. Are you willing to make the climb on behalf of your community? Listen, are we willing to make the climb on behalf of our nation, or have we so given up because of the things that we see, and now we argue for our limitations and wonder why we can't get past them? Can I tell you something? Making the climb will not put you on one side of the aisle or the other. It'll set you in the presence of the most holy King of Kings and give you a perspective that's beyond red and blue. It'll give you a holy perspective that we pray for those who are over us. We pray for our leaders and our nation. Amen, somebody. Exodus 33. Moses said to the Lord, you've been telling me to lead these people. Remember that this nation is your people. How many of you know Moses knew their sin? Moses knew their shortcomings. Moses knew their rebellion. Moses knew that they were still stuck in Egypt. But he said, God, remember, these are your people. Remember, these are your people. God, remember those children you gave them to me. God, remember, we gave this marriage to you. If your presence doesn't go with us, don't take me any further, because we can't make it without that. We can't make it without that. And watch this. And the Lord said to Moses, I will do what you have asked because I'm pleased with you. Listen to me. We sung it earlier. This is not about earning. Grace is not about earning. But it's also not exempt of effort either. I'm preaching better than your amen in this morning. Grace is not about earning, but it's not against effort either. That you and I are called to intercede, to stand in the gap, to make the climb. And God said, I will do this very thing you have asked because I'm pleased with you and I know you. And then Moses said, now show me your glory. Moses was praying what we need to pray. I can't do this without your presence. I can't teach in public schools without your presence. I can't build without your presence. I can't cook without your presence. I can't husband without your presence. I can't wife without your presence. I can't cashier without your presence. I can't pastor without your presence. I'm going to close with this. Moses was willing to make the climb because he had an encounter he wanted more of. Moses was willing to make the climb because he had a burden for the people he was called to lead. Moses was willing to make the climb because he knew he had a destiny to reach. And Moses said this basically, and I'll paraphrase it, God, you're taking me someplace I can't go alone. There's two things that I'm praying for that will happen today. One is that you will leave here with a burden for prayer. There's one passage in the Bible that talks about a spirit of prayer. That a spirit of prayer will come. And number two, that today is the day that you surrender everything and move past the limitations and embrace his purpose on your journey. And that tomorrow when you get up, you don't get up looking for things, but you get up looking for him. And I promise when you get up every morning and you look for him, you're going to find more than you ever imagined. When you get up in the mornings and you look for him, you're going to see him in the middle of the tension in your marriage. When you get up in the morning and you look for him, you're going to see him in the middle of the struggle with your children. When you get up in the morning and you look for him, you're going to see him beyond the financial struggle of your business. When you get up in the morning and you look for him, you're going to see him beyond the chaos in the middle of our world. When you get up in the morning and you look for him, you're going to discover peace in the turmoil. You're going to discover joy in the strife. You're going to discover peace through the valley. You're going to discover more than you have ever imagined. When you get up in the morning and you look for him, stand with me. I just want to do this rather simply this morning. And I don't want, we don't have a whole lot of space up here, and that's a good thing. That's a God thing. But I'm not going to do a every head bowed and every eye closed. And I know who this message was for. It was for you. It was for me. And there's some of you in here today that you have to be honest. Say, Pastor Rob, I've been coming to church, but I've never surrendered my life. I've experienced some of the things we've experienced here, and man, it feels good, but I've never surrendered my life to him. But today I know, I feel it. And listen, I feel that conviction right now, and I know the Holy Spirit's knocking on some hearts. And today can be the day that the Bible calls your day of salvation. Don't miss your opportunity. Don't miss the moment. But if you're here and you're ready to surrender and to take that first step in making the climb in your journey with Jesus, I want you to raise your hand right where you're at. Thank you. I'm ready to surrender. I'm ready to take that step. Now watch this. How many of you would be real honest? Say, Pastor Rob, Holy Spirit tapped me on the heart with that one. And I've been allowing some things and some hindrances and some limitations in my life that have kept me from climbing closer. But today I want to step past those hindrances, those limitations, and I want to draw closer to God in my walk and relationship with him. Would you lift up that hand? Thank you. And here's what I want you to do, whether you raised your hand or not. I want you to take a step of faith, and I just want you to step towards this altar. Right now, if you raised your hand, come on. If you didn't raise your hand, but you should have, make that step. No more excuses. No more limitations.